The best of the Jewish world. RadioHitabrut.com.
Good evening and welcome to this Wednesday night's show of Teens in Risk, Everyone Else at Risk show. This is your host, Dov Rabinowitz, and tonight we have a special guest, Dr. Dweck, who's come in to talk and tell us about his father-in-law, Mr. Charlie Saruya, who's tonight, it's his seventh Yahrzeit. And really, the show is dedicated to Mr. Saruya and to people like Mr. Saruya. Those people out there who are the visionaries, the leaders, the ones who help our communities to grow. Now, we have spoken in the past about things that are necessary in communities to be able to help them to grow. But tonight we're going to give some principles that Mr. Saruya lived by. Those principles that help build communities and yeshivas and shuls and not just buildings, but people's lives. That's what we're going to talk about today. And the theme of tonight's show is very simple. You can't choose what life throws at you, but you can choose how to deal with it. Now, I was asked to give another brief overview of who I am again, just for the sake of this show. And as you know, I've said in the past, I'm Dov Rabinowitz. I ran an organization in England called The Clubhouse, which was dealing with teens at risk and parents and schools and Rabbonim. And it was helping the community's children to grow. And right now I'm working with the great leaders like Rabbi Ronnie Greenwald and Rabbi Zacharia Wallerstein in Arnava and Benos Chaya, who are actually, I just wanted to put in here, they're being honored at a tribute dinner on June 18th alongside Rabbi Y.Y. Rubenstein, Mrs. Lisa Elephant, Judy Bodner, Tzipora Ginsburg, Chaim Tovia Hansen, Rabbi Edgar Gluck. All these people are changing the face of women's education, inspiring people to grow, empowering them to be better mothers, daughters, and grandmothers. And we hope that, please God, that you should be able to help us by donating money to Arnava through this dinner if you can't come. Okay. So really that leads me on to the rest of the show, because these are the kind of people who are leaders. And that's what Mr. Charlie Saruya was. He was a leader. And in a minute, we're going to hear from Dr. Dweck, about his father-in-law, because I believe that we can learn so much from his life and we can take that and input that into our lives and make other people's lives better and make other people feel special. Before we do that, I want to just say one quick Dvar Torah, which helps us to understand what the life of Mr. Charlie Saruya was, what his life meant. And we see in Parshas Vayera, in the Pasuk Beis, Perek Yud Ches, it says, Vayisa Einov, and Avram lifted up his eyes. Vayar, and he saw. What are we talking about? He saw the angels coming towards him in the desert. The angels, of course, were coming to do different things. One was coming to tell Sarah that she was going to have a child. One was coming to destroy Sodom. And each one had a different reason for coming. And then, a bit further on, it says, Vayar, and Avram saw, Vayorots, and he ran. So the obvious question is, why does it say twice, Vayar? First, when he saw them, and then he saw them again, and he ran. And the idea is as follows, is that a person can see things that are happening within a community. They can see, oh yeah, yoy, the kids are on the street. Oh yeah, yoy, look at the divorces. Oh yeah, yoy, look at all the bad that's happening. And he sits there and moans and grumbles. I forgot, sorry, grumble was an English word. Grumble means moan. They sit there and moan and grumble. And they're just criticizing everything that's going on. And really, they don't do much. All they do is sit there and moan. And then you have the other person who's the second vayah. They see, hold on a second, what can I do to change the situation? By Yorots, and they ran, and they run, and they run to the situation, and they go and try and do whatever they can in order to be able to help that situation. And they raise money, and they give their time voluntarily, and they do whatever they can. And really, if I was to put in a just one small package everything that I've read about Mr. Charlie Saruya, I would say this was him. He didn't just see what was going on. He went and he saw again. He looked again. What can I do to help those people? And then he ran. He used his koichas. And we're going to hear some of those things that he did and some of the principles that he lived by. And we're calling them the 10 principles, just like the 10 trials of Avraham Avinu. We're going to call them the 10 principles of Mr. Charlie Saruya. And Dr. Dweck is going to tell us that and go over those in a few minutes. But I think that it's easy for people to sit there and moan. And I'll tell you, there are many people who go through tsaros in life. They go through trials and tribulations. And there's two choices that everybody has, bechira, choice. There's two choices that they can do. Either A, they can sit there and moan and groan and say, look what Hashem did to me. Look what's happening to me. Look at all the bad things that are happening to me. Or they can say, hold on a second. God does not give me something that I cannot cope with. If he gave it to me, he must have given me the tools to be able to cope with it. And therefore, I'm going to find a way out of this. I'm going to grow from this. And in truth, I can tell you from personal experience that every time you have a negative thing happen to you, after you've overcome it, you become stronger. Now, in my time in the clubhouse, I remember about 2001 when I started, I had some boys and girls who were helped because they wanted to be helped. We engaged with them and they were empowered to go and make their lives better. And then we had some boys and girls who were the same 5 years later. In fact, some of those kids came back to me and said to me, we wish we would have listened. We wish we would have done what you suggested and what you advised. But they still didn't change after that. They still carried on their lives. And in fact, some of those kids today are still the way they were 10 years ago. But let's focus on those who listen to the good advice of those people who've been through things, who understand these things. Let's listen to the stories of, for instance, the life of Mr. Charlie Saruya. What can we learn from these people? And, you know, just one or two things before we go to Mr. Dweck. I mean, I'll just give an example of things that touched me, you know, and it remind me of my days in the clubhouse, is that Mr. Saruya used to go around 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, picking up boys to go and for slichas. Now, I remember I have a good friend in Manchester called Pinchas David Brandeis who wanted to help me. And he used to come fetch me every single morning at 6 o'clock in the morning for shachris to make sure that I got up for shachris and I went to before I went to work. And I'm very thankful to him because I could see he was a very special friend. Not only that, he cared. And that's another thing that we want to learn from the life of Mr. Charlie Saruya. He cared for people. No one should ever feel that they're alone. No one should ever feel that they're not special. And I want to tell you that when I came to live in America, I decided the way I'm going to pick my shul, where I'm going to daven, is I'm going to go to that shul with no one knowing about me, and I'm going to see if anybody talks to me. I heard that people don't talk to each other here in Brooklyn. So I decided that's the way I'm going to do it. So I went to 3 or 4 shuls, and Tucker, no one spoke to me. I should have gone actually to the Syrian shul because I hear they're very warm there. But I didn't go there because I'm Ashkenazi and I don't daven Nusach Svadi. But I went into the shuls. No one spoke to me. And then I went to the shul, actually, which people in England told me to go to. And I don't know why I didn't go there in the first place. But people told me to go there. And there was one very special man. His name is David Sandhaus. The second I walk in, do you want a place? Good Shabbos, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? And I felt like this is the way I'm going to daven. And slowly but surely, more and more people, the rabbi and more people came and said good Shabbos to me. And I felt this is where I'm going to belong. Everybody needs a place where they belong, to feel they belong. And Mr. Charlie Saruya was one of those people who made sure that everybody belonged in his community. And I heard that today, in today's time, that in the Syrian community where they're praying in the shul there, that's how it is continuing today. And I've got to say, it must be partly because of Mr. Charlie Saruya. It must be because people like Mr. Charlie Saruya, who wants to go out there and make people feel wanted, make people feel that this is their place and this is where they belong. And you can have hardships. And you know, Mr. Saruya, from what I've read and understood from what Dr. Dweck gave me, he didn't have it easy. You know, he had a child, which was when he was in the army, and he wasn't able to be by the bris, and he had to make shlichim's messengers to make sure that the bris was done properly for him, and he was on the telephone while the bris was made. This couldn't have been easy, you know? And he came from an orphanage. you know, there's many people out there who came from different kind of surroundings which weren't ideal, and they could say, look where I came from. How could I ever achieve anything? You see what bad happened to me? And Nebuch, there are people out there who have had bad things happen to them. And they have good reason to sit down and lie down and do nothing the rest of their life. But you know what? There are people out there who say, no, I'm not going to take this lying down. I'm going to get up and make something. And their children and their grandchildren learn a very big lesson. And even though it's the seventh Yahrzeit of Mr. Charlie Saroya, there are people today, and this is 7 years ago, there are people today from Doris, two generations after Mr. Charlie Saroya, who are still talking about Mr. Charlie Saroya. They're still talking what it meant to them, what his life meant to them. And I always say that a person will always remain alive, even after their nifta, if their children and the people they touched continue their good work. And this is what tonight's all about. You can have sorrows, or you can have negative things happen to you in life, or you can have obstacles put in your way in life. It's how you deal with it. It's not about sitting and moaning. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go over to Dr. Dweck now, and I want to, let's go through one of the principles of Mr. Charlie Saroya. Before we do that, if there's anybody out there whose lives was touched by Mr. Charlie Saroya, I want you to call in on 718-683-5858, 718-683-5858. We want to hear how Mr. Charlie Saroya's life touched your life, and we want to hear what he meant to you, because this is his Yahrzeit, and we really want to place as much time and emphasis on his life and also the idea, the principles that he had. Okay, Dr. Dweck, let's go through, first of all, hello, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. Let's go through the first principle. I'll let you go through the principle.
Okay, so our first principle that my father-in-law, Charlie Saroya, held was to take a genuine interest in others, to reach out and touch their lives. And I'll give you a couple of examples. One example was brought up by Isaac Mavorach. And this was a young man at the time that he wanted to go to shul, but he didn't want to go that badly. And what my father-in-law did was he gave him a phone call, and he didn't answer. Isaac Mavork didn't answer the call, and it went onto his answering machine. And he continued to ignore my father-in-law's calls, Charlie Saroya's calls, for 3 weeks. But every message that Charlie Saroya left was always an encouraging message. It was never angry. And in the words of Isaac Mavorach, you are the most persistent man I have ever known. How many people in our community have you to thank for their spiritual lot in life? That is the way he took a genuine interest in others. He cared about them. He wasn't angry. He loved them. He wanted to help them. I first met my father-in-law on the bus going to work, and I had a cup of coffee in my hand, and he came over in his warm way and he asked me, why are you starting your morning drinking coffee on the bus? Why don't you come and you'll learn in the morning with us? We do Chokhli Israel before we pray. Then we pray, you'll get on the bus, I'll give you coffee, whatever you want in the shul, you'll have breakfast, and then you'll get on the bus. So I mentioned this to a few people, and they told me, what? Some crazy man on the bus tells you to come to shul at 5 o'clock in the morning, you're going to listen to him? Well, the rest is reality here, and here I am. And I was very appreciative of that.
I think that, the lesson that we can take from there is always, you know, to try and include people and try and bring people in. Sometimes, you know, people make out as if they don't want to be brought in because they're thinking, you know, what is this all about? What does this guy want from me? You know, and sometimes we have to be open that people are trying to help us. And I think that that's a very important lesson that Mr. Charlie Saroya did. He wanted to make sure that everybody was included and everybody knew what was on offer for the people of the community and also the wider community as well. And I think that went even further when he was, you know, in the later years, he opened up a kollel and yeshiva, and he made sure that people had food. And I think that this gives us an understanding of the type of person that he was. But I think that the lesson that here, this first lesson that we want to learn is reach out to people, include them in your shul, include them in what's going on in socially in life. There are many people out there who feel very alone. They're sitting there every day on the bus or in their car, and they really are not included in anything. Speak to them. Go and say hello to them. Say good morning to them. Say, how can we include you in something? And that is really one of the first lesson. I think we can go on to the second lesson.
And I think the second lesson is a connect. I just wanted to give you a little correction on what you were saying.
Sorry.
We opened up that kollel and that food pantry in Beit Shemesh in his memory. It's called Mishkan Shaul. It's a beautiful group of rabbis that are learning every evening, and we provide food, we provide clothing for people that need it, and the welcome that I get from the community in helping us and making donations towards that and keeping people in Beit Shemesh, the Sfaradim over there, well-fed and healthy, and also keeping Torah alive is fantastic.
I think that just shows how much, you know, to do all that kind of work and keep a kollel running and keep all those things running in Beit Shemesh, I think just shows how much power Mr. Charlie Soroya had to be able to pass that on to his children. And yishar koach, you should be blessed because of that, and keeping the Torah alive in Beit Shemesh, especially for the Sephardi community, because the Sephardi community is a very strong community. There's a lot of achdus in the Sephardi community, and I think that they need moistus, but you know, they need more and more moistus as they grow. Let's go on to the second.
So now, I think the second one is definitely a carryover into that, and that is, don't be shy to tell your family, I love you.
Wow.
Every phone call that I make to my father, to my brother, to my sisters, and when my mother was alive, to my mother, always had in it, I love you. It starts with I love you, it ends with I love you, and every encounter with my children, when you come home, when you go to bed, always with I love you.
You know, I just wanted to say something that actually I heard today from my rabbi in England, Reb Shimon Weingarten. Basically, he said to me it's exactly what you've just said, but he added a bit to it, and he said, parents today are just not spending enough time with their children. They're not spending enough time with their children in a relationship. Meaning, they're not sitting down with their children at the table. They're not telling them that they love them. They're not telling them, putting their arm around them and saying, how was your day? He even went as far as to say, each night, you sit with your children around the table and make a cheshbon and nefesh. What did we achieve today? What are we going to do today, tomorrow, that's going to be better than today? And I think that, as Dr. Dweck just said, that, you know, just to say even I love you, never mind having a relationship, just to say even I love you, you know, that's very, very important. And right now, just before we carry on, we're going to take a call. Somebody wants to say something about Mr. Soroya. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Nope, he's gone. Okay. Hopefully he'll call back. Okay. Okay, so I think let's go to the third point.
So the third point is something that I lived with through all the years that I knew my father-in-law, Charlie Soroya, and that was that words are powerful. In fact, many of you are familiar with the book called Positive Word Power. Well, my father-in-law could have written that book. Charlie Soroya lived by positive words. He lived by words of encouragement. He lived by superlatives. You are terrific. You are wonderful. You are my heart. If he saw something beautiful in nature, he would just smile. Yishtabach shemo. This is gorgeous. If you would sing a song, I'm a Kohen, I go up for Kohanim, I come down from Kohanim, my father-in-law tells me, that was a beautiful Kohanim. But any opportunity that he had, he would use his words, his powerful words, to encourage people. He would use powerful words to paint pictures and to create feelings in people. So words are powerful. Positive word power is powerful. And these were the things that my father-in-law, Charlie Soroya, lived by.
You know, I'd like to add to that a story. A story was in Papua New Guinea. There was a tribe in Papua New Guinea. And there was also a family in New York. And what had happened was there was a child from each place who had done something wrong. They'd stolen something, let's say. And in New York, the father and the mother went crazy with this kid. And they were shouting him, you're a no good. You're a low life. What did you do it for? You're putting our family to shame. How dare you? And in Papua New Guinea, the tribe people all went round in a circle. And they put the boy in the middle. And they all said to him, you're a good boy. You've got this attribute. You got this character, good character. And they all spoke positively to him. And which one do you think, which kid do you think worked out the best? Positive word power is very important for our children today. We have to tell them, you did good. Not all the time telling them off. We have to tell them, wow, you did an amazing on your test. You got 70, you got 90, you whatever you got, it's amazing. You did your best. You tried your effort. I think that we have to always also think about saying good morning to people, saying positive things to people, not always looking at them and going, or walking right past them. This positive word power is an amazing positive tool that we can use to reach out to other people. We don't have to be the kind of people who donate loads of money. We don't have to be the kind of people who donate loads of time. We can do small things as well. Everybody to their level. And even if your level is just one thing, to be nice to somebody else, that's amazing. Do we have that call now? We have a call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, well, I have to say about his grandson, David. He's a very good boy. He follows his grandfather's ways.
Thank you very much. And what would you say, what kind of way would you say that he follows his grandfather?
In his chesed.
In his chesed. And what kind of chesedim does he do? Hello? Ah, he's gone. Okay. Okay, well, look, he does chesed, and that's very, very important. And thank you for that. Thank you for that call. Okay, let's go on to the fourth point.
So the fourth principle is look for opportunities. Now, this was something that my father-in-law, he had his antennas out at all times. He was always looking for opportunities. But what type of opportunities? First of all, you mentioned before about smiling. He would look for an opportunity to smile at everyone. And if someone didn't return that smile with a smile, he would make it a point to get them to smile the next day or the same day or just keep going after them in his gentle way to get them to smile. Or look for opportunities to encourage people. A newcomer to the shul, says, you see, this is the first time he's in the shul. Like when you went to the shul, he would shower them with praise for their efforts, for coming, for showing up, for whatever they did. He made sure to make them feel welcome. Look for opportunities to appreciate. Everything that you did was a reason to appreciate, to say thank you. Everything that he did, thank you with all my heart. Let them know how much you enjoyed whatever it is. If we were at Selichot, anybody would take a solo, that would forget about it. My father would go over, gorgeous, oh, fabulous. Opportunities, look for opportunities in life. He would tell somebody, when you walked in the room, you light up the room. This guy just came into shul. He just came in to start to pray. My father-in-law, Charlie Saroya, looked for opportunities to appreciate people, to encourage people. Look for opportunities to give a beracha. Instead of saying good night, he would say, B'tov talinu, berachamim takitsu. You should have a good sleep and wake up with Hashem's mercy. If you're a sandak and you're giving berachot, what kind of berachot are you giving? Look for opportunities. Give that long beracha. Take your time. Do it from your heart. When you bump into somebody, you see this person, you see him once in a week. That time that you see him, give him a beracha. Wish him for a successful week. Parnasa tova, b'riut, kol mishalut lebecha letova. Those berachot, those opportunities, that's what Charlie Saroya was looking for at all times. He was looking for opportunities to smile, to encourage, to appreciate, to give berachot, to remember Hashem. When he would put the key in his store, at the time, he used to have a store in Manhattan. He had a wholesale business, and there was a store that he had where he sold chandeliers and different products. When he would put his key in the door to unlock the store every day, without fail, he would say, B'shem Hashem na'aseh v'natzliach. In the name of Hashem, we will do and be successful. Remembering Hashem at every possible turn, those were the opportunities that Charlie Saroya looked for.
I think if I was to summarize what you've just said and try and make it into a lesson for other people, apart from what you've said already, I think I would say that he made people feel special. I think that's really the one of the crunches of what you've said. He made people feel special. That's something very important. There's a lot of people out there, as I said before, who feel very alone. They feel like nobody cares for them. And, you know, nice things to people and including people, again, he made people feel special. But I think also, which was very important, was he thanked Hashem for everything. He saw where everything came from. And also, when he's thanking Hashem, the emistic, the truth of his bracha that he made, it was made with meaning. Meaning every word that he said was said to Hashem because he meant it. Baruch atah Hashem. Hashem, you are the source of all blessing. And I really appreciate that, and I really feel it. And that is really what the important lesson to take from this is, that we have to remember where everything comes from. We can't think it comes down from Macy's. Yeah, it comes from Hashem. It doesn't come from a tree, that's for sure. Yeah, it comes from Hashem. And I think if we were to look at what I've also read and now just heard about Mr. Charlie Soroy, he really, really internalized that everything came from Hashem and nothing is taken for granted. Okay, let's go on to number 5.
Okay, so again, if you have any stories about Charlie Soroya, you want to give a call, 718-683-5858. We'll take your call, 718-683-5858. Number 5 is never give up, not on yourself and not on others.
Wow, that's a very powerful statement. That's a very powerful statement.
You know, when Charlie Soroya first came to this country, his uncles told him, it's impossible to keep Shabbat in this country. It's not possible. You're going to have to get a job. You're going to have to feed your family. You're going to have to work on Shabbat. And he would never give up on his Shabbat, never give up on his Torah. And he refused to listen. And he found himself a job, and he was able to work, and he was able to keep Shabbat. When he was in the army, he was in Alabama. It was the 1940s. There's no place to have a sukkah for Sukkot. He made it happen. He built it on a runway. It blew down when the planes went flying by. He rebuilt it. When he lived on the top of a store on 20th Avenue, how's he going to have sukkah? He built it on the roof. He went up to the roof, or he built it on his fire escape. When he built a youth minyan from the 1940s to 1964 in Bensonhurst, and when he was forced to leave, he was not discouraged. He didn't let it pull him down. He was ready to start all over again in Flatbush, in Shaar HaZion, and that's what he did. He was somebody who never gave up.
Dr. Dweck, all the lines are flashing. Let's take a call now. Let's take a call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, and you?
Baruch Hashem, it's Avi Devor.
Avi?
Devor.
Hi, how are you doing, Avi?
Baruch Hashem. First of all, I just wanted to say how amazing it was to be able to start the show last night and to be a part of this wonderful Radio Hijabut programming, and to be able to say that I am a part of what people like yourself and the doctor are trying to accomplish within the community.
Thank you.
You know anything about my father-in-law?
What did you say? I'm sorry?
Avi, you know anything about my father-in-law?
I do not know anything about your father-in-law, but I do want to make a comment on something you had said just earlier about how important it was that, and how he made sure to always talk to the children and to spend the time talking, and the families needed to communicate and to always end everything with, I love you. I remember, you know, this ties in so much to what we were talking about last night. I remember once how when I had spoken to one of my sons, Menahalim, in his yeshiva, and he had made a comment to me, wow, your son tells you everything. Because we were talking about something that had come up. And I was like shocked, and I said to him back, I didn't really know there was any other way. And the only way you'll ever get your children to communicate to you and to feel comfortable with you in this type of manner is if you do always have these kind of conversations and that kind of relationship.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that, you know, it's so funny. Just a personal anecdote. I walked into my daughter's school this morning, and one of the administrators there said to me, gosh, you know all the teachers. How do you know all the teachers? So I said, because I communicate with them. I need to know how my kids are doing. So that's very important. It's a very important thing to know everything about your child's life, because you are there. The child is given to you as a present from Ribbono Shel Olam, and you have to be as positive as you can for that person. Avi, listen.
I did want to make one comment regarding the midah that the doctor had mentioned about his father.
Okay.
You know, there are certain people, like we have someone in our show as well who is like this. You know, we call them the huggers. You know, the people that you know are always going to give you a hug. You know, it's for a lot of us, we wish you could be like that as well. It's such a bracha for a person to be able to tap into that part of their personality where they know that by being able to be comfortable with giving people a hug and always giving them that positive word, it's an amazing bracha to be able to dig down into yourself and to be able to affect people's lives. As much as people may feel weird when such a thing happens, but it completely and totally makes people feel amazing, gives them simcha. And for the doctor's father to have been able to have understood, because many of us, our biggest mission is trying to figure out our shtadlus. To be able to develop that personality, knowing that this is what Hashem wanted from you, is an amazing, amazing thing. And
100%, 100%. Avi Shkar for coming on. We've got other callers, but thank you
100%.
Very much.
We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Keep it up.
Thank you. Hello. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Shut your radio.
Turn off your radio.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, my name is Yosef.
Hi, Yosef.
Hi, I'd like to speak a little bit about Mr. Sroya Zichrono Livracha.
Okay.
Just a couple of words. You know, the wise man said that a person should not speak too much tishbachot about a person when he's alive. But after 120, like a situation like now, v'day, it's a time to mishabeach the ma'asim and try to emulate the different ma'asim of Mr. Shaul Saruya Zichrono Livracha. Well, one of the things I remember is that when I first came to Deal, New Jersey, I recall the warm-hearted environment that Mr. Saruya Zichrono Livracha would offer all those who practically felt a little bit strange in an environment where they don't know anyone around them. And the truth is, if you're trying to look for the right word or the right statement to see what represents who Mr. Saruya was, just open Pirkei Avot. Where do we find today such hard to find Anshem Una Avadu? We say it every single Monday and Thursday when we say Tachanun. Anshem Una Avadu, we see people who have so much Pashtut in the one hand and the other hand they have Gadlut. The Gadlut HaAdam, the Midot, how to respect the person. Kavod Tamid Chachamim. How to respect the Tamid Chacham? How to respect the boys who are sitting there learning Torah on a say right near Deal Shul, the Deal Kolel. And the truth is, ever since the time of Charles to depart from us came, the truth is, many other factors, many other things parted with him. The tree, the unbelievable environment that they had in Deal Shul left with him.
And so you have a responsibility to continue that in his memory. You have a responsibility to make sure that doesn't die,
no
that doesn't go.
About it. That Baruch Hashem, he left, not only he left us, but he left also a legacy. And we, through this program, Baruch Hashem, this chuyot that you are producing with this program, everyone who's involved in this radio station, there's no question about it. It's true, not everyone who's listening right now to the radio knows who Mr. Saruya is, but what we do know is that he was a Ben Torah and someone that we have to follow this type of hanhagah, type of leadership that he represented, what he stood for. And that's our job. And all I could say is that Baruch Hashem, we see his grandchildren, we see his family, and we say to ourselves, this is exactly what we have to follow. This is what we have to do. If we want to succeed and continue in the hardships of this world that we came to, there's no question about it that he represented that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming on air. Thank you. Okay, so let's carry on.
I just wanted to say one more thing about never giving up. Just imagine when he used to go and collect the boys for Selichot, he would get 200 children packed into young Magen David, praying, singing Selichot at the top of their lungs. And what would happen? The neighbors next door call the police. They want to shut him down. The two officers come in, and they go straight to Charlie Tsuruya. You have to keep these kids quiet. The neighbors are complaining. Charlie calls to one of the young boys. Please get these two officers a cup of coffee. He hands the officers the coffee, and he explains, we have 200 kids that we're keeping off the streets, and you want to stop them? And in a classic move that was so Charlie Tsuruya, for disturbing us, I want a $5 donation from each of you officers. This is a man who would not give up. They want to shut down his selichot. You're making too much noise. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. The neighbors are complaining. No, he's keeping it up, and he's getting a donation from the police, and they gave him the donation.
I would say that's an Askan par excellence, I think, that somebody who not only could deal with the police, but he goes one step further and actually gets them to give him some money towards the program. And that's amazing. Okay, let's see now. We're going to go on to number six.
Number six sort of is really coming in many different forms, and that is about encouraging others. When he came to this country, he refused to work on Shabbat. He encouraged others when they came to this country that don't give up. Keep it. I'll help you. We'll try and find something for you. When he encouraged others with giving donations, Young Mag and David, YMD, that was the name of his organization. He said, you know what YMD stands for? You must donate. When he was working in BB and Company and he was selling chandeliers, he took an opportunity and he made it possible by encouraging others to donate.
Okay, you know that reminds me of a good friend of mine in London, and I don't think he would appreciate me mentioning his name, so I'm not going to, who every time he did a business deal, he would say to the person afterwards, 10% of what we're going to make is going to go to Stucker. You know, these are the kind of people who don't just think about their own pockets, they're constantly thinking about other people's pockets. What does somebody else need? And this was Charlie Tsuruya. He did business deals, and then he said, now let's do other business now. And the other business is always Stucker. And this is really important, what we have to aspire to. It's such a big madriga, it's such a big level. And you think to yourself, how can we even think about getting to that level? And I'm telling you, don't. Don't even think about it. What you can do is do something small and let it grow. And it becomes like a snowball effect. So one day you're saying hello to somebody. One day you're speaking to them a bit more. One day you're listening to them about some little thing that they had or sharing some good thing that they had. It doesn't have to be about negative the whole time. And then they feel that they have a friend. They have someone to talk to. It doesn't always have to be listening to the bad of other people or dealing with the negative of the community. That's really what we're talking about tonight. Mr. Charlie Tsuruya he wanted to make everybody feel special in a positive way as well, not just to deal with the negative.
You know, talking about encouraging others with donations, you know, I wasn't around for Young Mag and David, but the Charlie Tsuruya that I knew, if you went up to the Sefer Torah, and now it's time to give you a donation to the shul, that was another opportunity that he would take to encourage you to help support a synagogue in Yerushalayim called Beit Knis Ades. He took that synagogue and he took it under his wing, and he personally raised $100,000 just in this way, by encouraging people. You go up to the Sefer Torah, you're giving $18 to the shul, give another $18 to Knis Ades. Okay, he's going to do it now. You give $100 to the shul and $100 to Knis Ades. He encouraged the shul and the people in that shul. I went there and I prayed in that shul, and many people have, and he kept that shul alive. And when my father-in-law, Charlie Tsuruya, passed away, his son, Abi Tsuruya, continues that same legacy and tries to help raise money for that Knis Ades. So besides supporting the kollel and the food pantry in Beit Shemesh, we also have Knis Ades that Abi Tsuruya is very actively supporting.
I think, you know, there's some people out there, and I know I've been involved in a couple of dinners and fundraising for certain organizations, and there's always that person out there who says, I can't ask, I feel ashamed to ask. If I ask, they're going to look at me differently. You know, in sales, there's a term called the chicken list, and the chicken list is you feel like a chicken. You don't want to ask somebody because you think that you're going to ruin their relationship with you, that if you ask them for money. Let me tell you something. There are enough charities out there who are struggling every day, yeshivot, organizations that are helping teenagers, shuls, they all need money. Don't be a chicken. Go out there and ask them. You won't ruin your relationship. And I'll tell you a story, a very quick story, of somebody who had a friend who was a very wealthy person, billionaire. And he used to raise money for his children's school, but he never went to ask this billionaire. It was a good friend of his. He thought, if I'm going to ask him, he's only going to think I want him for his money. So what he did was, 30 years later, he went to him and he said to him, you know, when I was involved in all those charities, I never came to ask you because I was scared that he was going to ruin our relationship. And he said, what, are you crazy? I would have given you hundreds of thousands of dollars if you'd asked me. I didn't know you needed it to be able to help this and this and that and the other. Of course I would have helped you. We can't be scared. We have to take a lesson from Mr. Soroya and from other people like him who go out there and they say, no, come on, let's help. They're not afraid because their relationships with people are real. People respect them because they respect other people. And that is really the core. Ezehu mechubad hamechabed es habriyot. Who is respected? Someone who respects other people. If you're on that level, that you respect other people from inside, real respect for other people, when you ask them, they will respect you back because they know that you're doing it for a mitzvah and they know you're doing it l'shem shemayim. Okay.
And nobody was more l'shem shemayim than Charlie Soroya, that is for sure.
Okay.
We're going on to number 7 on our list, and that is get everyone involved. Now, the classic get everyone involved stories that I know, and I know these from my father-in-law telling them, I know them from my sister-in-laws and my brother-in-law, that is what went on in Young Mag and David. How he got every one of the kids. You know, Young Mag and David, we'll just touch on it a little bit. Young Mag and David was an unusual place because most shuls you have where you're throwing out the kids and you have the parents or the adults there. Over here, you're throwing out the adults, and the kids are the stars. And not only are the kids the stars, everything is for the kids. All the food is for the kids. It's not where, hey, you kids, wait until the adults sit down. Hey, you kids, wait until the adults get to eat. No, over here, you adults, out. This is for the kids. This place is for the kids. And all the kids got involved. How did they get involved? When it came to Sukkot or Seudah Shlishit, the girls, the boys, they would help prepare the foods, bring in the soda. And, of course, he got donations because we're talking about donations. My father-in-law, Charlie Soroya, would write beautiful letters. He would call up people, and he would get donations for cases of soda, cases of tuna fish. He got, the classic stories of the station wagons that he got donated. All those things for the kids. That's who this was for, and he got all the kids involved. How do you get the kids involved? You get them involved in any which way that it was appropriate for them. Whatever their age appropriate activity, that's what he would get involved with. Another way that he would get them involved was giving them a job that they felt special for. Not just in the shul there, but there was one young boy. He told him, you're going to be our cook. Now, that guy ends up being a professional caterer. In the end, he becomes a professional caterer. Maybe the whole thing started from Charlie Soroya having that confidence in him and telling him, Jimmy, you're going to be our cook. And Jimmy turns out to be a professional caterer.
You know, I find that people who work with other people, l'shem shemayim, get a special siyata d'shmaya to point that person in the right direction. And I think that I know that personally, I can speak on a personal level, when I've helped people and I really wanted to do it for the sake of that other person, words have come into my mouth. And I think to myself afterwards, hey, that was good. That was amazing. How did I ever think of that? And I remember one such story, which I'll tell you, of a guy. I'm going to be very careful what I say because it's quite graphical, but he was a priest in the Church of Satan. He was a Rav's son, who was a priest in the Church of Satan.
Wow.
And they made kabbonis, they made offerings in this church.
Wow.
And he was also a biker in the Harley-Davidson Chevra, right?
That goes good together.
Yeah. And he had tattoos all over him. And I remember sitting with him in the park behind the Sheraton Plaza in Jerusalem. And I was thinking to myself, and he was telling me, what am I going to do with my life? I'm dyslexic. I'm no good. I never learned anything. I left school when I was 11. And And what am I going to do? I can't read. I can't write properly. What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, one second, I said to him, why don't you become a shochet? You have seen blood and guts. You know what it's all about. Why don't you become a shochet? And today he shechs 1,200 chickens a day.
Wow.
And I'll tell you something. I don't know where that thought came from, but it was a special siyata d'shmaya, which people get, Be'ez Hashem, everybody who should work l'shem shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to you. And it's for sure that from what I've read about Charlie Saroya, he had that special siyata d'shmaya. He didn't just have the push to go and help people. He had a bit extra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you if you make the effort. Don't anybody out there think that they can't do these things. It's all achievable to their level. You just have to make the effort. That's all that has to happen. Just go out there and try. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you the extra siyata d'shmaya.
Again, if you have any stories you'd like to tell us about Charlie Saroya, 718-683-5858. 718-683-5858. We're up to number 8 in our list of Charlie Saroya's principles, and that is make it fun. Make it fun. Young Magen David was fun, but it wasn't only Young Magen David. His home was fun. Being his grandson was fun. Being his son-in-law was fun. Everything connected to Charlie because he had a gusto for life and he was effervescent. And that's our job, is to duplicate that, because that's what's going to make it fun for our children. That's going to what's going to make them want to be at our table. That's what's going to make them enjoy going to shul. And in fact, there's a story that they tell. Son Abi told me the story. The shul, Young Magen David, is located, and the building is still there on 67th Street. If you go there, you'll see a plaque there, and it's a plaque honoring the memory of Charlie Saroya. And it's on 67th Street off of 20th Avenue. And across from the shul is a public schoolyard. And the kids used to play ball there. And, of course, whenever they came out of shul, they would go play ball and have all the excitement of all the things that happen in shul. And they would talk and they would talk and they would talk. And the non-Jewish kids that were playing ball nearby would overhear what was going on. One day, all of a sudden, they were going into shul because that was the thing. You know, it was time to pray mincha, whatever it was. And they see all these non-Jewish kids are sitting in there before them. They beat them there. And they're sitting there with kippahs on, waiting for the fun to begin. They said, this place must be unbelievable. We want part of this action. He made it so much fun that it was something that they wanted to be part of. And that's our job. We want to make it something that our own children want to be part of, that our own families want to be part of. Make it fun. That was another principle of Charlie Saroya.
I think that, we can learn from that in the respect that the Shabbos table, I think that the Shabbos table has to be for your children. It's not for us. It has to be made, as Dr. Dweck just said, fun. The Divrei Torah, the different ideas and things that are spoken at the table, we must make sure we don't speak Lashon Hara about other people, you know, and in shul as well. I see a lot of shuls, as Dr. Dweck just said, the children have to stay outside. They're running around like crazy outside. We have to make sure the children come inside and they feel part of it. And not just that, is they feel part of the minyan as well. Maybe make a youth minyan. I know that that they had a youth minyan there at the Shaar Tzion shul, or at the
Young
Magen David shul. This is very important. I remember growing up as a child, we had a youth minyan in our shul. And we were, for part of the service, we were taken out and went to another part of the shul, and we ran that part. And every second week, the rabbi came in to daven with us musaf. And we felt special. It wasn't that he was just sitting in the other shul all the time and nobody really cared about, so let them go, let them do what they want. He came and sat with us for musaf, and he gave us the little drosha. Not that we liked the drosha, but he gave us the drosha. and you know, he made us feel special. This is the kind of thing that Charlie Saroya used to do. He used to make people feel they had a place. Everybody should feel that they have a place. Nobody should feel, again, I'm going to say it again because it's very important, nobody should feel alone. Nobody should feel that they don't fit in somewhere. We have a responsibility to make sure that people fit into our communities and we welcome them like Charlie Saroya did.
We're up to number 9 in our principles that Charlie Saroya lived by, and that is life is about habits. And probably the habit that stands out most in my mind that my father-in-law Charlie Saroya lived by was getting up early. getting up early was something that was just so essential, because he packed so many things into his day, into his life, that you needed enough time to make it happen. He would start his day from 4:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. And in fact, I remember when my parents came to the meet the family, they came to my father-in-law's house to meet my father-in-law. And now it's getting a little late and my parents are ready to leave. So my mother tells my father-in-law, you know, it was wonderful to meet you, and we're going to leave now because my husband has to get up early. Get up early? My father-in-law says. He can join us in shul. We start Chok L'Yisrael at 4:30 tomorrow. Should I call him to wake him up? We'll get him out early, plenty of time. Charlie Saroya lived by habits. And like I said, one of his major habits was getting up early, but that wasn't the only one. He had systems. He would, in the shul, he was the one that closed up the shul. His habits were cleaning up. He made sure everything was put away. Everything was neat. He would make sure that they had what they needed in the kitchen, in the shul. His life was about regular habits and making things consistently work.
I think, you know, something else that we can learn from that is the other things that I have read about Mr. Saroya, which was that he would make sure that things were cleaned up, things were made sure that they were running on time. You know, there are those kind of people in shul who are always the ones who are putting the sforim away, who are always the ones who are cleaning up after shalosh shudas, like my good friend Nissim here. He's always the one who's doing all these kind of things. And I think every so often we have to look and see, what can we do? Just one thing, we have to pick something up, wrap up a tablecloth, put some sforim away. What can we do? Why should we always leave it to that one person, that one tzaddik, who's going to be able to make sure the shul is ready for the next day? And I think that's another thing that we can do, we can learn from Mr. Saroya. Don't just sit there. Don't just expect everything else to be done by everybody else. Go and do something. Help the people who are helping everybody else and be part of that. Be part of the first people to jump up and make a minyan, or the first person to jump up and put the sforim away or the chumashim away after the tefillah. This is what we have to learn from people like Charlie Saroya.
You know, you're talking about cleaning up. Even if he wasn't the one cleaning up, let's say you had the Spanish worker in the shul, he would make sure to go over to him. Thank you so much, Miguel. Thank you so much for everything you're doing for us. He would let you hear his Hakarat HaTov to everyone.
I think that just to say, you know, I always enjoy in the office that I'm working at by Onava. Whenever the UPS guy comes along, everybody says to him, thank you for taking our package. And I really enjoy listening to that, because I really see that it doesn't matter who you are. First of all, it's a Kiddush Hashem that Jewish people are behaving in this way. But second of all, as a human being to another human being, thank you. Thank you for sweeping up my garbage on the street. Thank you for doing, you know, this is one of the things I think at the end we're gonna say this, because we've only got a few more minutes. We're going to go do the last number 10. But I really want people to walk away tonight with something that they can do. And before we finish number 10, I'm going to say that, just in case we don't have enough time in the end, but tomorrow, just tomorrow, one day at a time, tomorrow, say hello to somebody you wouldn't normally say hello to. Smile at somebody that you walk past every single day. Offer to help somebody that you see is struggling a bit. All these kind of things, small things. But those are the things which make other people feel happy, make other people feel special. Okay, let's go to number 10.
So number 10, and this is something that anybody who had what to do with Charlie Saroya over the years knows, that his handwriting was exquisite. And letter writing is a lost art, and Charlie Saroya used letter writing to the limit. He was amazing. He would use letter writing years and years ago at the time of Young Mag and David to get donations. In fact, he continued to do that for Knis Ades. But besides that, Charlie Saroya used letter writing to stay in contact with people that he cared about. I'll just read you quickly a little postcard that he sent to Rabbi David Ozeri. You are truly wonderful. Seeing you at my grandson's bar mitzvah was great. You give me great pleasure, and I am very proud of you. May Borei Olam fill your home with happiness, health, and long life for you and your family. And may we see HaMashiach B'mirah B'Aminu Amen, your true friend, Charlie. He He sent letters and postcards to family, to friends, to anyone lucky enough to meet him. He also sent letters to community members and others, like I said, to raise money. So if we just quickly go over our little list here, his principle started with take a genuine interest in others, reach out and touch their lives. Everyone's important. Don't be shy to tell your family I love you. Every phone call, every encounter, when you see your kids at night, when you see your spouse in the morning. Another one, number three, words are powerful. He could have written that book, Positive Word Power. Everything was positive. Words can encourage. You can change a life with words. You're terrific, wonderful. Yishtabach shemo, you're my heart. Gorgeous. Number four, look for opportunities to smile, like we just mentioned, that Dov mentioned, to encourage, to appreciate, to give a beracha, to remember Hashem. Number five, never give up. Never give up on yourself. Never give up on others. Number six, encourage others. It's a running theme. Encouraging others is the running theme of everyone's life. Get everyone involved is number seven. Make it fun is number eight. Number nine is life is about habits. And number 10, try it. Letter writing is a lost art that will change somebody's life in a positive way.
Okay, so listen, I'm truly inspired by reading all the things that I read that Dr. Dweck gave me about his father-in-law, Charlie Soroya. I hope that tonight we have given you an opportunity to learn about positive change and how to overcome some of the nisyonos, some of the problems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided to give to us because we need it in order to grow. I really hope that we can understand the pasuk which says Vayah twice. Don't just sit there and moan. Go out there and do something about it. And I'm really thank you to Dr. Dweck for coming in tonight and talking about his father-in-law, Mr. Soroya. And Be'ezrat Hashem, his neshama should have an aliyah.
Amen.
And his light should never go out. The light of his neshama should continue for doris, and more and more doris as we go along. And I just wanted to say the last thing. Next week, we're going to be speaking about internet filters. And all the different technology, the filters that you can use in order to be able to put Kedorim in place for your children. And I've got 1 minute left. Okay. And as the Asifa is coming up this weekend, that we should know, again, these people who have gone out there to do the Asifa are trying to help us to understand that there's a danger. They don't always know the right answers, but they're doing their best to make sure that we understand. Put Gedorim in place. That's the most important thing. And I just wanted to say good night from me, Dov Rabinowitz, and good night from Dr. Dweck.
Good night.
And good night from Nissim, who without him we wouldn't be here, because it's Radio Dabrut 97.5. You should be listening to it because it's out there to help everybody they possibly can. This is Dov Rabinowitz saying good night. Cheerio. This is your host, Dov Rabinowitz, from the new Teen in Risk, Everyone Else at Risk show. Join me live this Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. Call me live, 718-683-5858, or text me, 347-927-8398, the radio station that gives you a voice.
Radio Hebrew is now on your phone. Call in to listen live, 712-432-4217.